Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. I remain Farley Malaris, and welcome to yet another edition. I think this is edition number 1247, something like that, of Astrological Metaphysical Radio, birthed April the 16th, 1984, on KFOX, and through your public support, we're still amazingly here. So there must be people out there that listen to the show. What a metaphysical, spiritual topic I have for you today. This is ambitious, so I'm going to hold my piece of celestite in front of me during the whole thing. See what happens. Today's topic is called Feeling One with the Universe. So we are going to take a look at life, at love, at people, at power, and at oneness, and how you might start to see things from another person's point of view, perspective, how you might overcome your own uniqueness, your own individuality. You know, the beauty about astrology and the beauty about the astrology chart, which really got me into metaphysics 10 times more than I'd already been. See, I understood metaphysics to a point when I was a child even, and all the way through elementary school and junior high and high school and college, I always researched and dreamt and automatic wrote about the soul and the path of the soul, regressions, my past lives, my future lives. But, astrology really didn't find a place in my lifestyle, in my expression, until I was about 26 years old. And I'm 41 now, so we're talking 15, 16 years ago was when I really got into astrology and fulfilled the full spectrum of my metaphysical growth. And, you know, I hadn't really realized up to that point what the purpose of astrology was until then, when I realized that in order to be a truly pure, whole, metaphysical being, I had to understand uniqueness. You see, in order to understand oneness, and in order to understand why and how all people relate and bind to each other, and why we are all truly one essence, one being, one entity, you must master your uniqueness, and you must master your individuality, and you must analyze and study and reveal to thyself your individual lesson and purpose in life. Because, you see, the mountain of awareness, the mountain of awareness must be climbed in order to reach a height of spiritual grace and understanding. And I by no means am never claiming that I have climbed that mountain, nor am I anywhere near being on top of it. But I am at least open-minded enough and a seeker of further truth enough to know that in order for a person to become one with the universe, one with God, and one with all people, then it's important to master the source, the beginning of that oneness, which is the self. And that's what the beauty of astrology is. See, this dimension has been structured in such a way, with all the star systems and the galaxies and the planets in our system, to focus on what we call magnetic force, electrical energy, electrical circuit energy. It's a charge that exists. It's a charge that exists on an everyday basis, every microsecond. And in order for us to have an illusion of separation, in order for us to have a dramatic presentation of individual thought, individual perspective that is set apart from the oneness that truly does exist, we need this astrological system in this dimension. And by having this system, by having a planetary system in a planet called Earth and a carbon-based life system, from a star called the Sun, which is the perfect size, which allows us to have living, breathing, organic life on this planet, we also are in the middle of a piston-like situation where the planets, the Sun and the Moon, where they go through outer space, depending on what sector of space they're in, actually instigate a charge on this planet every microsecond. And that charge has a lot to do with how an individual soul would express itself during any one particular life cycle. Okay, is that clear? And that's why when a person is born, more, so much more than just knowing where their sun is located, that is called sun sign astrology, knowing what astrological sign your sun is in. Like, for example, hypothetically, if we were in Libra right now, okay, in another week, people say, well, Scorpios are having birthdays. Well, what does that mean? That means the sun has moved from the sector of space of Libra into the sector of space, which is Scorpio. This is a location science. If you are a Virgo, that means you were born with the sun located in Virgo. If you are Pisces, that means the sun was located in that astrological sector of Pisces. So you are actually receiving a vibration or an energy from beyond that realm, beyond that sector of Pisces that comes into your body, into this baby when you are born. Same with all the rest of the planets. See, uniqueness is defined. We need a system that defines uniqueness and individuality and separation from the illusion that we are all apart. We need a system to design this uniqueness, and that's where astrology fits in. You know, astrology literally fits in because it actually creates differences in the way we act, in the way we think, in the way we look, in the way we respond to certain situations, depending on a few very powerful factors. Number one, the race and nationality you're born under, possibly the religion also. Number two, what type of family situation and environment you will be raised in, what type of parents you might have, if any, and brothers and sisters. And the final ingredient is that astrological electrical circuit that occurs right when the baby is born, at the moment of birth, when the baby inhales that first breath. And that's why we focus on the natal chart and the birth chart to understand the way your body and your brain cells are charged by all the planets, not just the sun, but also the moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars. You know, when you're born, if you're a Taurus, there's no way that all the planets in the sky are going to all be in Taurus with the sun. It's absurd to assume that Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and the moon are all going to be in Taurus, okay? So that's where the chart comes in. See, the chart comes in because beyond just your sun sign, we have to find out where Mercury and Venus and Mars is. You see, like each planet, you know, we astrologers through the eons have surgically dissected the meanings of best we can think of, best we can figure out what it means to have a certain planet in a certain sign to design a certain uniqueness and a certain individuality or separation from the whole, which we truly are, okay? And that's why Mercury rules the thought processes and how the baby would think. Whereas the sun sign energy would be the soul's purpose in this life, the energy which the soul must master. Mercury is how that soul will express itself through the vehicle, through the vestibule, through the body which it will inhabit. And Venus will tell us the values of the soul's current expression, the love factor. Mars will tell us the health of the soul, the sex drive, and also the life's battery. And Jupiter will reveal the philosophy and the expansion and the optimism or confidence factors, if any. Saturn will show us the major area of study and growth and lessons for that soul's individual expression. Uranus is the awakening factor, the factor that controls goals and friends and organizations and genius and technology and invention and humanity and all those things connected with the individual's expression. And then Neptune is the illuminator. It is also the factor that controls dreams and illusions, delusions, and psychic awareness. And Pluto is the transformer, the transition factor, and also the regenerator, or the one that controls the intimate side to the soul's expression. See, and understanding where all these planets are at birth helps us understand the individual mission, the individual factor that was designed and destined for a being to experience that would set him apart from the oneness that he truly is. Don't you get it? By overcoming and by understanding this chart and this mission and this karma, this lesson which we must learn, that's the mountain that we climb to finally let go of that astrological charge and once again become one with God and one with the universe and one with all people, which can make life a lot easier and a lot more simpler. And you know, it's not easy for me because I'm human and I don't like to say that I'm one with everybody sometimes, because sometimes you see some people and you say to yourself, my God, I hope I'm not one with Richard Ramirez, or I hope I'm not one with Adolf Hitler or Charles Manson or some of these people out there that have really gone down a hellacious path. But I'm sorry, the truth of the matter is that they all come from the well of souls. And the well of souls is one essence vibration. It's one major ocean of energy that is not disconnected. It is totally bound and connected. So whether we enjoy certain individuals or not, the truth of the matter is that we are still bound to them, even though they may be far away from our current expression of oneness. You know, obviously, if you're going down that far of an evil path, of a negative path, then you're going to be far down the mountain and got quite a ways to go. But for those of us that are climbing that mountain to overcome this illusion, then we may feel a lot more closer and more of a relationship with other people. Now, I meditate quite a bit in many different ways. I've been trying something lately because I am a tremendous research type person. You know, I always do a lot of research. And I want you to know, people that are listening to this show on a regular basis, that this part of the show is the show we present commercial free. We do a 28 to 30 minute segment the first half hour of every Astrology Hour where there are no announcements, and that is why we do our appeals in the second half hour of the show when we do our readings. Along the lines of this meditation I was talking about, I'm into my I Am meditation, and when I did my I Am meditation in 1976, I had my first vision, an angelic vision, which actually changed my life for all time, where I was put into focus of this perspective of this basic premise that we are one with the universe, one with God and one with all people, that there is in fact only one being and no more or less than one, only one, one the most powerful number in the universe because of that reason. And in my opinion, at least. Anyway, when you get into this I Am meditation, and I Am, in case you wonder, people say, why you use the words I Am? Well, some of the ancient roots of religion on this planet come from some of the Judeo-Christian principles, and often ask what the Hebrew word for God means in definition. The English translation is I Am. Elohim means I am, I am. So asked, what is God? I am. The I am force inside of the individual is what God is. Okay? So that's where that comes from. So I didn't make it up or pull it out of left field or anything. That's what some of our ancient religious beliefs on this planet come from. The God force within, the I am force. Okay? Now, if using these words in an English meditation, like just meditating on I am, over and over again in your mind, well, you might come up with some kind of vibration, especially if you use the words I am God, not to be egotistical, but using that essence, you might plug into a source of love and light down deep inside of you that could reveal some further truth along these lines. But you know what I also do when I'm in public, or when I'm having a problem with somebody, or when I want to get to know the oneness that I share with other people, is I will use that phrase, the I am phrase, and put their name on the end of it. Like if I want to understand my dad better, and because I do live a sober lifestyle, somewhat holistic and somewhat clearer than I used to live, because I do practice with crystals and meditation, I really feel that I am a lot more psychic and intuitive and invincible than I've ever been. So to see things from my dad's point of view, I will look at him and think to myself without him knowing it, I am Fred Mallorys. I am Fred. I am my dad. I am my mom. I am Beatrice. And you know what? You immediately plug in to that person's vibration, that person's essence. And depending on how long you dwell on this meditation, on this mantra, and frankly, especially for those of you who have experienced recent loss of loved ones, family members, or relationships that didn't work or whatever, using this meditation, like let's say you broke up with somebody named Barbara, and you wanted to get more in touch with the oneness you share with Barbara. It's like a way she couldn't really escape you spiritually, right? Well, you would meditate on the words, I am Barbara. Envision her and visualize her. And you know what happens when you do that? Is it's like, for me, the symbolism here is like stepping out of your body and stepping into their body and feeling their brain vibrations, their memory banks, their data banks. And you know, what's really fun to do this, and I don't really believe it's an invasion of privacy, because I do believe that it's a way to really feel your oneness with anyone. It's like being at a mall or at a park or even in public and trying to relate to what another person's life lessons is about by saying, I am that woman, or I am that man, or I am this person. And if you are psychic and intuitive to a point, which is sometimes what I feel I am, there it is again, then you will actually feel like you are stepping into an individual and relating to what this person's values are. Now, be forewarned. Some people are not into the Spirit of God and to metaphysical awareness like you or I may be. They may just be into sex, drugs, and rock and roll, or, you know, personal problems, worry, hate, anger, anxiety. So it isn't always a pleasant experience to plug into the oneness you might share with some people. But in order to understand where they are coming from and what their karma is, and to understand your relationship to this person, then this is a formula that happens to work. And be forewarned that this is a technique that, if used, will allow you to form a well of deep compassion inside of your heart, of deep caring and nourishing, because for once in your life, you will start to plug in to exactly how other people feel, where they're at, and the oneness that is inside of them that you share. The I am inside of them is the same I that is inside of you, the same. No matter what their bodies look like, no matter what color they are, no matter what race, religion, no matter what planet they are from, no matter what kind of animal species or insect species they are, and look out if you want to become I am with an insect. Be careful if you want to relate to that type of horror down there. You got to be careful what you say you want to be I am with, because the more you plug into, the more realism that you plug into, it can get frightening for you if you're not careful. It's incredible, because you can also do this, especially, and you know, a lot of people that are going to start doing this after the show, I am not responsible for what you might experience. Because if you start experimenting with meditation and mantras and visualizations or oneness of God principles without supervision, then this is my disclaimer. You know, I am not responsible, because I recommend everyone get training when it comes to meditation, metaphysics, or any of these principles as discussed on this show. You know, like plugging into something like you want to be one with your pet, your cat, or your bird, or your dog, or your baby. You think a baby is comfortable? You know, if you want to become one with the baby, it's going to be a very powerful experience if you become one with your child, because some of us are so stubborn and so restricted in our limitations, in our human limitations, that hold us back from overcoming the illusion of separation and feeling one with God in the universe, that when we do step into our child and we do see from the perspective finally what this child that we've been warring with, or that we don't like, or that we're mad at, feels, and we start saying, I am Bruce, or I am Derek, or I am Jim, or John, or Barb, or Karen, or Karis, or whatever, Monica, you know, and you're looking especially at a little baby that's 2 months old, you might feel some of the pain that baby is feeling from trying to express itself in a totally limited experience. So be prepared, because I don't know how psychic or intuitive or powerful some of you are, but I do know that this mantra, this meditation, this conscious meditation works, because it's truth. Because you are the I am, and you can plug in beyond your brain and beyond your body to the universal essence of which all there is. And it's heavy. It's far away from just looking at a basic astrology chart of your own natal chart, your own natal circuit. You are overcoming that, rising above it, and becoming one with all people, no matter who they are, no exceptions, and one with the universe. And meditating on things like, I am one with God, I am one with all people, I am one with the universe, then when you're out in public looking at people and thinking in your head, I am this woman walking down the street, I can feel her essence, I can feel her vibration, I am one with this woman, I am this woman. And you know what? You'll start feeling the way she feels about men, the way she feels about relationships, her values, her wants, her current problems, her current worries. You're darn right this is telepathic. You're darn right this is psychic. That's what psychic awareness is all about. Plugging into the oneness you share with other people. That's why I cannot stand it when psychics try to make choices for others. When they order them. When they say, oh, you're going to leave this job. Or you're going to leave this relationship. Or you're moving. Or you're coming to California. Or you're going to North California. There's something involved in this whole system that is called free will choice. That is an unwritten law that is sacred, that must not be blemished or perversed or crossed. Because when you start plugging into the oneness you share with other people, like you think you know what's better for them than they know for themselves, that's some of the most severe critical karma I can think of. And yet I hear psychics do that, and I hear people going to psychics like sheep to allow those psychics to make the choices for them in their lives and to manifest that in their aura, because they're more in control with their oneness than they are with their own oneness. You know? And when you start plugging into your own psychic power, well, maybe you won't need a person like me or a psychic or whatever. I always say to people, well, if I were you, I would do this. But I don't go ahead and tell people to go ahead and leave California or leave the city or leave their jobs or leave a relationship or leave their boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. But that's the way some people are. And they're like sheep. It saddens me that that type of energy exists. I guess what I'm all about in many ways is I'm sort of like your friendly reminder in a lifetime to help you remember what you truly are, to help you remember where your home is, and to help you remember what your essence and your vibration truly is. Maybe when I'm gone beyond this earth, I'll be remembered as a friendly reminder. Do you ever get that message? A friendly reminder, Farley Mallory says, you are one with God and one with the universe. You know, and people don't like to be told that they're so powerful. See, people like to believe in a savior or a messiah or someone to come and rescue them. They don't like to. Isn't it funny that in the Judaic occult Kabbalic roots of that religion, the revelation of God was simple. It was discovered in a meditation, and it was discovered to be the I Am force. And they define that in Hebrew words, Elohim. Okay. And they somehow lost it. You know, somehow in the Old Testament, they wrote this information in the five books of Moses that a Messiah or a Savior beyond the I Am inside of ourselves was going to come and rescue us. That almost seems satanic to me. You get my point? You know, I don't know what Satanism is to you, but to me, satanic vibration is anything that moves the power of God, the power of the individual outside of the individual, to a Savior position. And yet you take a look at this planet, and four-fifths of it is enslaved by these ancient religious philosophies that dictate that the Savior is, in fact, outside of the individual. And if you don't accept that, you're doomed to eternal damnation. Now, who would doom you to eternal damnation other than Satan? And yet that's the way the religions of the world are run. But this is 1989. This is the age of Aquarius. This is the new age. This is the age of humanitarianism. This is the age of lifting the veil, of overcoming the individuality, and of embracing the whole of humanity as family, of embracing the God, the power of the individual, the invincibility of the individual within the self. The Savior lies within your heart. It works. It does. And you think Satan would come up to you and tell you that God is inside you? No. I think Satan would tell you that in order for you to be protected, you have to seek outside your body. I mean, that's Spock logic to me. I don't know. Maybe you should meditate on this I Am mantra and see what you come up with. But it all works. You know, like this show is dedicated once again to open-mindedness and the search for further truth. I am not trying to tell anyone what to do, or unlike some people that preach religion or philosophy or whatever, I'm not trying to shove anything down anyone's throat or threaten anybody with any kind of eternal damnation. You know, I just believe in the laws of karma. I believe in reincarnation. I believe in the implications of astrology as a design for uniqueness in this dimension. I believe in the oneness of God principles and the messianic qualities of the human soul, of the power of God that lies within the heart, and of the invincibility of the individual. And I do firmly believe that this planet would leave its vibration of a hellish state. If you think we have heaven on earth, then maybe you don't know the Lord's Prayer. Okay? This is not heaven on earth. Earth has a problem. We have a problem. The priority is not of the Spirit. It is not of the people. It is not of love and of hope and of faith. The priority, the focus on this planet is for power acquisition. It is for domination. It is financial. It is competition. It is everything that is outside the Spirit. And meanwhile, the entire planet is waiting to be saved by some cartoon fantasy figure from beyond outer space. Give me a break. I'm sorry. We're it. This is it. You wonder why the extraterrestrials don't reveal themselves to us. You wonder why the time travelers that come from 100,000 years in our future don't let us know they're there. I'll tell you why. Because we are less than monkeys to them. We are like an ant farm to them. We are what you call, I want you to for a second, imagine yourself 5,000 years in the future of Earth, and consider what it would be like in 1989 Earth with pollution, with industrial waste, with nuclear weapons, with cobalt bombs, with bacteriological and genocide warfare, with chemical warfare, with all kinds of hate and anxiety and weapons on this planet. We live in an age of barbarism right now. We have a problem on this planet. This is not the answer. And we are not going to be saved by somebody coming through the warp. The only way we're going to restore the priority of spirit to this planet is from within the individual, which is where the I am force dwells. And once again, that is my opinion. How's that for 30 minutes of commercial-free radio? Pretty intense, huh?